When you look at yoga as a whole, you're working on your physical, mental and emotional level. When you practice yoga, you're reducing stress in your body and your mind, you're lowering pain, you're expanding your awareness, which then increases concentration and focus. All in all, for me, yoga heals.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Student Lawyer Podcast Series. Whether you're at school, sixth form, university, thinking about a career in law, or exploring law careers, you're in the right place. We are the one-stop shop for student lawyers. If you'd like to join the Student Lawyer as a writer, please email hello@thestudentlawyer.com. This episode is sponsored by the University of Law. The University of Law offers a range of undergraduate and postgraduate courses and master's degrees alongside an award-winning pro bono clinic so you can build up your legal experience while studying. And their experienced career service will enable you to put your best foot forward when launching your legal career. The courses are employment focused and based on real legal practice, so you'll be better prepared for the workplace. Part-time and online study options are available so you can work and study at the same time. Click the link in the description box of the podcast to find out more about the courses on offer. Welcome to the Student Lawyer Podcast Series. My name's Camilla. I'm a trainee solicitor at a law firm in London and I will be your host for today's episode. Today we're joined by Baljit Kaur Chokar, solicitor and yoga and meditation teacher. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing how yoga and meditation can be a benefit to current and aspiring lawyers. So without further ado, let's welcome Baljit onto the show. Welcome, Baljit. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Camilla. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. I'm really excited for this episode because I'm a big fan of yoga and not so much meditation. That's not something that I've been getting into yet, but I do know that it's supposed to be really, really good for you. I'm excited to share your knowledge with our listeners and hopefully they can take something out of it. So perhaps we could kick off the episode by finding out a bit more about you. So I wondered if you could provide some insight into your career history so far.
Okay, so I did an LLB at university and then I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go into the legal field. So I did a master's in management because I was then looking at graduate management opportunities in in big organisations. And once I finished my master's, I then had that pull back to go back into law. And yeah, I then went on to study the LPC. So I did the LPC first. We funded it ourselves and then went to work for a middle-sized law firm. So I went to work for Shoesmiths as a paralegal. I was there for a year. And whilst there, I was searching. Actually, when I went to work at Shoesmiths, I realised that I actually wanted to work in a smaller law firm. I wanted to work in private clients. I kind of honed down on what my niche is going to be. So I started looking at smaller law firms and then started applying. I then moved back to London and started working at a private client law firm. And so I qualified and then specialised in property law and wills and probate. And I worked there for a couple of years until the recession hit. So we're talking about 2009, 2010, around about then. And then I went to work for the Department of Work and Pensions. So I worked in various non-legal roles whilst I was there, but it was a very good learning experience working for such a big organisation. And there I predominantly did a lot of business-to-business, business development work. So I was an employer advisor for the majority of my time. And whilst I was there, and I also moved from London to Bedfordshire, I then got in contact with Silex Regulation. They were one of my clients I used to work with. And I wanted to get back into the legal sphere. So I went into work in legal regulation and I was there for 7 years. I trained to be a qualified assessor, internal quality assurer. And I remained there until I then had the bug to get back into practice. But I knew I kind of had a better direction of where I wanted to go and I wanted to work in the charity sector. And then I started looking at roles in non-profit organisations. And now currently I'm an in-house, I'm in-house counsel at a university. So I work there full time. And in my, I say spare, but I have two young children. But yeah, I do teach yoga and meditation in the evenings, weekends. In between all of that, you know, I've done quite a lot of holistic work. I've become a qualified massage therapist. I'm a Reiki practitioner. At one point in my early 20s and 30s, I was a hair and makeup artist. I've left that all behind now as I focus on the yoga and meditation journey, because that's where my passion is and my love. And I'm also a mental health first aider. So I think that marries in well with how I try and teach yoga and help people in that kind of context. But yeah, I, as you can tell, I love learning. And you need to have that learning bug when you practice yoga, because it's a lifelong student journey. It becomes a personal journey that you develop over time. And yeah, so
fascinating. I love the fact that you've had such a varied career history. You know, even in the more professional sense, I can resonate with that a little bit. I've also done some quality assurance work, but at the Financial Ombudsman Service, and it just gives you so like such great skills that you can actually bring to a career as a lawyer. So yeah, I always like interviewing people who haven't necessarily just come straight from law school, because you know, I like to share different people's journeys to show that there's not just one way of qualifying.
100%.
So I think that's really valuable to hear. And also so interesting that you've done all these other things around law as well. Definitely shows that you have a passion for learning. And you sounds really creative as well. So it's always, I think it's nice to balance out you know, professional life with a creative streak as well. So what actually drew you to becoming a yoga and meditation teacher in addition to being a solicitor?
So I've been practicing yoga now. It's going to come up to about 24 years. So I've been practicing yoga for 24 years. And naturally, you know, that student journey, when you become a yogi or you start practicing yoga, you can't learn everything all in one go, because yoga is an ancient wisdom, and you know, it takes time to cultivate, understand. These philosophies are so much intertwined in yoga. So on my journey, as I deeped into it and maybe stepped out of it at times and then went back into it, the passion was always there. And intuitively, I started, when I had my children were younger, I started doing like guided meditations with them to get them to sleep. As every parent knows, that period where they just don't want to sleep. So I did that very naturally and started teaching yoga to my children. You know, I think they saw me do it. So they, you know, so then I started teaching it. And this is before I was qualified. And then through COVID, I started doing facilitating sessions with family and friends over Zoom, because that's the only way we used to communicate. And I could sense the, you know, the mental health crisis that was happening. So once I started teaching it, and well, I say teaching it, but once I started facilitating those sessions, I thought it was like a natural progression. You've been practicing it for so long, you start helping other people start their journey. And you then realize, yes, this is the next step for me. So it was a very natural step. It did take a lot of courage to take that natural step, because when you're working full time with children, you know, running a house, becoming a student again, you know, it took me 6 months to complete my yoga teacher training. It's a 200-hour program. But also the love of it kept me going. So that's how I then, you know, logged onto the training and completed my training, and then started teaching. I started teaching online initially, and only a couple of months ago started teaching in person at local village hall. So trying to build that community and share my love of yoga to help other people, and so that they can start their journey. That's the main reason I do it, because it's I know it works. I've been there. It's helped me in so many different ways over the years. And it's about sharing the teachings of yoga to help other people.
And so, I think that's such a great reason. And it kind of links into the next question, which is related to how that can actually help law students and legal professionals, because we know that law can be a stressful career at times. So in terms of helping with that, how does yoga and meditation help with stress management?
So there's various benefits to yoga. Very simply put, it's physically, mentally, and emotionally. It helps on all those levels. And physically, when you're doing the asana, the postures, you're strengthening, lengthening, you're creating space in your body, you're recognizing where you hold tension, you're breathing into those areas, you're releasing and cleansing. So there's a lot going on a physical level, which will then help you. Then that also brings into the mental, because with yoga practice, what you're doing is actually expanding your awareness. You're becoming aware of what's going on with your practice, with your body, with your breathing. And so by becoming aware of what's going on and the physical practice, what you're actually doing, the science of yoga says that you're actually triggering the rest and digest response, which is your parasympathetic nervous system. So normally, we do live in our sympathetic nervous system quite a lot, which is the fight or flight. And, you know, that can be useful at times, you know, when you have to run away from something or, you know, get work done, it's very useful. But to always be in that state is not very useful for our body and our mental health as well. So by doing yoga, you're working on your triggering your parasympathetic nervous system, and that naturally calms you down, relaxes you, grounds you. And that's the physical and the mental. And then on an emotional level, when we look at the benefit of yoga, there are eight limbs of yoga, and within those are the what we call the yamas and the niyamas, and they are the moral qualities and the observances in daily life, like the values of life. So for example, one yama is ahimsa, which is non-violence, and that's just not physical non-violence, that's non-violence to yourself, so in your thoughts, how you think, you know, to think positively. So all of these things, when you look at yoga as a whole, you're working on your physical, mental, and emotional level. And that when you practice yoga, and meditation then becomes part of the yoga practice, you're reducing stress in your body and your mind, you're lowering pain, which you might be feeling, you're expanding your awareness, which then increases concentration and focus, can improve your mood. All in all, for me, yoga heals on those three planes, you know, your physical, mental, and your emotional. So that's how I think yoga can really help with stress management. And that's why I practice it. I practice daily now. I have my own practice. So I teach separately. But yes, you, as a yoga teacher, you have to keep up with your own practice, which is very important.
Yeah, I think that's great to hear, because I've started yoga recently, as I thought it would be good for reducing stress and and correcting posture and things like that, because mm-hmm. I sat at a desk quite a long time period of time in a day, so yeah, just trying to look after the mental and the physical, and it's been really, really great. So it's interesting to learn more about the about how that works, like you've just explained with the parasympathetic nervous system. That's really interesting to learn about the actual science behind it, so thank you for sharing that. And what are the other benefits of yoga and meditation that students and lawyers might find beneficial? Is there anything else to add to that? I know you explained the three areas already, so I don't know if we've covered that.
Yeah. I mean, the other things, it depends how, you know, the more you practice, the more you will start observing, I would say, the values of yoga. And one of those, which I think is required, especially as a law student or even a lawyer or any kind of professional, is yoga teaches us to observe and not to judge. And that's also ourselves. Don't judge ourselves either, not just about third parties. And be kind to yourself. And as you expand your awareness, you start tapping into your inner wisdom. So, you know, Raja Yoga teaches us that your inner qualities are joy, love, peace, purity, and wisdom. And in this day and age where, while social media is great, you know, we are bombarded with information from the outside all the time, and you can develop that need that your joy comes from the outside, you know, your peace comes from the outside. And yoga teaches us, well, actually, no, you have all those qualities within you. You become joyful first, and then you can enjoy the world outside. And I think it's, you know, the amount of, I read the other day, someone put a post up on LinkedIn that said that there's more content than there is readers. And it's so true. So yoga starts for you to become aware of what's working for you and what's not working for you, to create boundaries, to create detachment. You know, it's okay not to do something that everyone else is doing. It might not work for you. You have to really tap into your own inner power sometimes. And that's exactly what yoga does over time. The more you practice it, you will develop that inner wisdom, and you'll feel content. It's contentment. That's one of the other values of yoga, contentment. So, yeah, as you start your journey, you will slowly begin to reap the benefits of it. In my eyes, like I said before, yoga heals, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful practice.
I completely agree. I think it's fantastic. And I think, yeah, it's so needed. Like you said, with social media, there's always people or apps or platforms trying to force ideas and products onto us. So I think being able to have awareness of that and be able to manage that ourselves with yoga and mindfulness is really powerful.
I'd like to take a moment to speak about the University of Law, which is the university I decided to study my LPC at. The University of Law is the sponsor of this podcast and makes it possible for us to continue bringing these episodes to you. So we really appreciate you supporting us by supporting our sponsors. What really sets the University of Law apart from other universities is its belief in training students for the real world from the moment they accept a place. The University of Law's experienced career service and award-winning pro bono clinics offer students the chance to get real-life legal experience, which can boost employability. They offer a range of undergraduate and postgraduate legal training and master's degrees designed by qualified experts to help students excel at any stage of their career. Their courses are employment-focused, honing key skills in a teaching environment based on real legal practice. Part-time and online study options are also available on many of their courses to help students work and study at the same time. If you'd like to find out more about the courses on offer, please click the link in the description box of the podcast.
And I wondered if you could explain what breathwork is and how that can be of benefit to students and lawyers. I've had the term used quite a lot recently, but I'm not too familiar with it. So it'd be interesting to learn a bit more about that.
So breathwork in yoga is called pranayama. And so when you go to a hatha yoga class, for example, you will do asana, which is posture work. You'll have pranayama, which is the breath work. And then you'll have a meditation, which will either be, it might be guided depending on what kind of class you've gone on. So there's kind of three elements to a hatha yoga class. So the breath work in yoga is basically it's the regulation of your breath through certain techniques and exercises. So I would say that always practice with a qualified practitioner, because there are contraindications to some of the practices that you do. So, for example, if you have high blood pressure, there are certain breathwork pranayama you shouldn't do. But in yoga, we learn to control the movement of prana. So prana is vital life force energy, to balance ourselves. And that helps our, that helps. So sometimes you may do some breath work while you're actually doing the asanas. You might have heard of the Ujjayi breath, where you're constricting your throat while you're working. And then sometimes you have things like, you may have heard of alternative nostril breathing, where you're inhaling through one nostril and exhaling. And that's, again, to balance the two hemispheres of the brain, because we are feminine and masculine, both. Everyone is. And then you have, you know, Kapalabhati, which is the, you know, forceful out-breath that you do. It creates energy in your solar plexus. And so breath work is, it can have many benefits. The main one is, I feel, is to anchor you. When you just become aware of your breath, we are all breathing every day, and sometimes we don't even bring our awareness to our breath, which is just a natural phenomenon, isn't it? We just all do it. And I think, especially with the level of stress and tension in life, if everyone just became a bit more focused on their breath, then we will be able to ground ourselves more. And through these practices in yoga, the breath work in yoga, you learn to also, it detoxifies you because of the way you're breathing, inhaling and exhaling. And you learn to breathe deeper and fuller. And at the end of the day, life is just a sequence of breaths, isn't it? That's all it is. If we keep breathing, we're alive and we're here. And when we get stressed, our breathing becomes really shallow. And that's why breath work is really important as well. Ultimately, I mean, I talk about the different types of techniques in yoga of for the pranayama, but the very basic one, which I think everyone should learn to practice, is just natural conscious breathing. So you're not changing the rhythm of your breath. You're just becoming aware of how you're breathing. And you can do this just by closing your eyes and taking your awareness to your nostril area. And don't change your breathing, but just become aware of how the breath is moving in and out of your nostrils. And then you take your hand to your chest, and then you just become aware of how the breath is moving in and out of your body. And you can take your other hand to your belly. And again, just feel how your navel comes in and out. So that very basic breath work can be very grounding and can be very relaxing as well, and can be done at any time without a yoga teacher.
That's fantastic. I think it's under, like you said, life is a series of breaths, and breathing is such a fundamental part of our physiology. And yet it's something that we don't really pay attention to. You know, people talk about food, diet, exercise, all of that, but breathing is so important. So I think it's really good to focus on that. And I was reading a book a little while ago about, was it about yoga or breathwork or anything like that? I think it was written by an ex-Navy SEAL, but he explained that when we breathe, we only use 1/3 of our lung capacity normally, and that's really toxic and cause health problems. So I think it is really valuable to incorporate breathwork and, you know, yoga as well into your daily routine, so that even if it's just 45 minutes or an hour a day, you are focusing on your breath and ensuring that you are working on that area. So I think that's
interesting you said that, because there is a yoga practice where you inhale 2/3 and then the last inhale, you know, we have to do that with a yoga teacher to really, and then you exhale completely, and you realize that even when you inhale and you think you've got to the maximum capacity, you always have that little bit extra, and that's always that tiny little third which you think you can't actually breathe in, but you can. So yeah, it's interesting that other people are looking into it and researching it, and
I think it's fascinating. And so you've mentioned already that you practice every day, but how often does a person need to practice yoga and or meditation for it to be beneficial to their well-being?
I mean, consistency is key. So I would, my view is, and this is how when I started, it was, I used to go to a yoga class once a week and I never did anything else outside of that because as a 19-year-old, that's all I did. I just went to a yoga class once a week. And then eventually you start to learn a couple of postures and that you can incorporate into your daily life. So I suppose it's what you need. If you're a highly stressed person, you probably need to do a little bit of something every day. If you're just dabbling into it, want to see what it's about, you know, practice it once a week and see how you feel. Every yogi's journey is their own journey, and only you know how much you'll need something. Like I said, I only until I think it's the last 3 or 4 years I've been practicing every day. Before that, it was once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks, sometimes it was none. It really, you know, I've had 2 children in that span, so it varies. But you know, mindful conscious breathing, everyone should try and do at least 5 minutes a day. Practice it before bed, 5 minutes, and practice it first thing in the morning. I think if we advocate that a little bit more, that might help people. And then you can do it during the day. There is a stream of Raja Yoga, they're called the Brahm Kumaris, and they teach to every hour stop for 1 minute and put a timer on for 1 minute and just close your eyes. And, you know, they say meditate, but likewise, you could just focus on your breathing for 1 minute. And it's amazing when we actually stop doing what we're doing and come back to our real self, you know, not all these, we play so many roles in this world, don't we? So many labels, and we're always giving, but we need to charge our battery up as well. So it's about, you know, the more tired you are, the more yoga you might need. You know, you might need a bit more meditation. So yeah, it's a very personal thing. I don't want to be coming out here saying you have to do this, but I would say try and practice, you know, a bit of conscious breathing every day. And if you can get to a yoga class once a week, maybe start your journey, see how it goes. And if you go to one yoga class and it doesn't feel right, don't write it off. Try another one, because every teacher is different and the way they teach is different.
Absolutely. So I think we might have already covered this, but, you know, I can imagine that a lot of our listeners are going to be students. Maybe they have a part-time job as well. They're probably thinking, I'd love to try yoga, but I don't have time for it. What advice would you give to them?
If you do really want to start trying, try yoga, I would say book yourself into a class. That's 1 hour in a whole week. And it's about prioritizing it as well. I mean, this is where, as students and as lawyers, especially if you're starting your journey, you really want to get into a really healthy relationship with your well-being. And we've all heard the saying, haven't we, if you don't make time for wellness, you'll have to make time for your illness. And that is so true. So, you know, you might need to actually do a bit of reflective work, sit down and work out, okay, do a bit of an audit. Where does your time go? Where are you spending your time? And if last week you spent 6 hours watching a Netflix, you know, a box series or something, then maybe think, okay, do you know what? I'm going to book into that yoga class and I'm going to try it. It's about making your wellness your priority, your self-care your priority. That's how I would do it. I mean, I completely understand. I work full-time. I teach part-time. Part-time study. I have 2 children. You know, I get it. I really do. And just to bring realism into it, the last 3 days I didn't practice because I was so tired from the week, because last week was a really hectic week. So I gave myself some space, and then I restarted again this morning. And you can press the reset button at any time. So, you know, if you miss a few weeks, it's fine. But it might require a bit of reflective work on your part. and see where can I bring in some time to do this. And yeah, 5 minutes before you go to sleep, you know, put a timer on, and can I just do, and if 5 minutes is a struggle, just start with 1 minute, 1 minute before you go to sleep. And then when you wake up, just 1 minute, natural conscious breathing. That's how I found, you know, you have to prioritize your own wellness going forward to then be able to. And the more yoga you practice, like I said, the more awareness you get, and then you realize there's certain times that you think, okay, you know what, I really need to do this. I need to do, you know, X or Y. I consciously made a decision last year that every month I'm going to go and have a massage, and I do that for myself every month without fail. Again, it comes down to prioritizing your self-care, and you can only give if you've given to yourself. It's that battery analogy. We are literally a battery, and we're giving all day, but we have to charge ourselves as well at some point to then to continue giving to all the fields that we give to. So yeah, I would say, yeah, charge yourself up. And if you go to the gym, maybe look in, because most gyms have yoga classes as well. So maybe after your gym session, you know, if you can fit in a time to go to that yoga class, you know, do that.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think that we can all be guilty of saying that we have no time. But like you said, if we do a time audit, and we realize that, oh, okay, we spent a couple of hours on Instagram this week, and then all of the other distractions that we have. So yeah, I think that's brilliant advice. So thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I mean, I that's the end of my questions. But you know, you've been such a great guest, Valjit. You've shared so much wisdom. And if any of our listeners would like to connect with you, how can they find you?
So on LinkedIn, I'm Valjit Kulchoker. I also have an Instagram page, which is at The Ascending. I don't know if you can link it.
Yeah, I can put a link in the description box so people can just copy and paste it.
Yeah. So my Instagram page, I've been running for a few years now. I'm new to my LinkedIn page and my Facebook page. That's something I had to do recently. But yeah, those pages don't have as much posts on it, but Instagram definitely does. And if I'm also starting on Friday an online yoga class. It starts at 6, it's from 6 till 7 in the morning. If anybody's interested, get in touch. And if I can be of any help, you know, if you're wondering, you know, where to look for a yoga class or how to look for a yoga class, you know, just get in touch and I'll happily, yeah, I can help you out there as well.
Lovely. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. And thank you to all of our listeners as well for tuning in, and we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.
To hear more of the Student Lawyers podcast, hit the subscribe button and leave us a star rating and review. If you would like to join the Student Lawyer as a writer, please email hello@thestudentlawyer.com.